Hello and welcome to the world's greatest online magazine podcast, The Wagump. I think it was it NBB who suggested the half-baked podcast, the Hit by Pitch? It's at HBP.
Was that Bo?
Well, I can't remember if it was Bo or NBB. There's a B in there somewhere. And yeah, I was going to put that up to a quick vote. Shall we become the half-baked podcast?
I approve.
Okay, yeah, good.
Carried.
Seconded, so carried. All right, so we are 100% definitely not going to start this episode with any talk about sandwiches, any.
Unless one of us wants to take meat up on his bet, extremely lucrative bet.
I actually wasn't going to start about sandwiches, but thank you for taking it there.
I really kind of want to, actually.
That needs to be like a special podcast in itself if anybody takes up that challenge.
The trick is, how big does the bread bowl have to be?
It can't be bite size. That's not a loophole that's going to work.
No. And also, we kind of made it sound as if you have to bake your own bread bowl.
That does add a layer of difficulty.
Because I'm not going to do that.
I think we can pass on that aspect of the challenge. In any case, yes, it'll have to be recorded and transmitted, because that's going to get some clicks, baby. That's going to get some clicks. Sweet, sweet content.
Sweet, sweet clicks.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, why don't we start with the macro picture? A lot of MLB news recently, unfortunately.
Lots of big transactions.
The good
headlined
stuff.
By the recent signing of Urban Santana by the Royals.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Smell baseball, baby.
I was actually wondering just a couple days ago if he was still in the league or not. I was happy to see he was.
He is now. I don't think he was before, but he is now.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
John Heyman claims he's throwing 95.
He actually follows me on Twitter.
Really?
Wow. That's impressive.
That was
you can use that for that tweet of like that tweet today about the time a famous person and you interacted or something like that.
There we go. I don't think we've ever actually interacted. I have no idea where he would have seen me, but there we go.
Is that your coolest follow?
Yeah. Oh yeah, by far. Other than Pepper.
Right, of course.
Right, obviously.
We need to get her a check mark. I think my coolest follow is probably on Instagram, Emma, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah.
That's probably my coolest.
That's a pretty good one.
And we have interacted, so yeah. Whoa. Take that. Okay.
Wow.
So do you want to start with Darvish or Snell? Those are obviously the two to go over.
Those are the big ones that just happened in the last 24 to 36 hours, I believe.
I was going to say, a lot of news. No, you know, unfortunately, the good stuff doesn't involve the Twins right now.
We missed a few things from a few weeks ago.
Well, I mean, in these two cases. If Darvish could have been had for that much, it seems like the Twins could have matched that. But
the problem is, though, Darvish, he's... Even when that contract was signed, I looked at it and I was like, you know, I'm not sad the Twins didn't go for that particular contract. And now that he has almost certainly pitched the best year of that contract,
right?
I don't feel any. I mean, he's gonna be good this year. Obviously, he's gonna be very good this year. But this is absolutely a 1 or 2 year, and then it starts looking maybe not Chris Davis-esque, but
how many years are left on that contract again?
Four,
I think.
That's what I believe. That's correct.
I mean,
definitely should get our information looked up here.
I'll take care of that. I'll be the guy in the chair on this one.
All right, but you know, he's already what? This is gonna be his age 34 season, 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking at 34, 35, 36, 37 for the next
with
4 years.
With a guy who has recently had major surgery.
Right.
I think the last couple of years of that contract aren't going to look so great. I mean, I hope they do. I love Yu Darvish. I really love Yu Darvish. One of my favorite baseball players.
I'd love to see him and Kenta coming out of the dugout too.
That would be fun. Awesome. But you know, I mean, and this is a caveat that applies to Kenta a little bit, as much as we don't want it to. But remember, he had a great 2020 season, right? his 2020 season was only 12 games. It was 76 innings.
Right.
I'm
right.
looking at, I mean, he pitched 31 starts in 2019 with a much less exciting 3.98 ERA than he had in, which, compared to what he did in 2020.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's kind of my whole thing with, like, Bauer is going to get paid crazy based off of a quarter of a season, admittedly a brilliant third of a season. But, yeah, you look at Bauer's last few years, he's not going to redo 2020 again.
They're not $200 million pitcher level.
You're not getting Garrett Cole for this.
Right.
You're not getting Garrett Cole for either of these two guys.
Right.
Do you think Bauer cracks $200 million?
Who's going to be amazing? No. I think in a normal year he probably would. I don't think he will.
Right.
I don't think he will this year. Plays into it. Yeah. Yeah. Even in a normal year, I don't know if any team would really want to do that. Not just performance, just personality wise. that's got to cost about $20 million right there.
But there are some. But there are.
I know.
People who view his personality as a plus, as a positive.
Right.
He's a grinder. On the field and online.
I will give him this. He is a tireless ambassador for the vision that he has for baseball.
And for himself.
Right.
Yes. He is also a very, very capable self-promoter.
But back to Darvish and Snell.
Real quick follow-up. Darvish has 3 years left, $22 million, $19 million, and $18
million. Okay, 3 years left.
Yeah, sorry, three years.
Three isn't bad.
Yeah.
Three isn't bad. And honestly,
if I was the Twins, would I have done the deal for what they got, for what the Cubs got for him? Sure. Am I super disappointed they didn't? No.
No.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, he's going to be in his age 34 season. The end comes fast. And again, we're talking about it like he's going to do 2020 all over again. Like you said, 2020 was 12 games. You look at Randy Dobnak. Randy Dobnak had a stretch of 7 games there where he looked like an ace. If he would have blown out his arm after like the 8th start, he would have looked pretty decent.
I mean, Randy Dobnak just started actually giving up ground balls through holes instead of right to fielders after his 7th game.
And I mean, obviously completely different because Darvish is a very, very, very good pitcher. Not taking anything away, but just all the stats and everything. All the stats just in 2020, which is why we'll get to it later, but I'm glad about their signing today. It shows a willingness to look past 2020 stats over a larger period of time.
Right. But let's touch on the Snell trade too, because I think if you were any team and you were going to trade for one of those two guys, Snell or Darvish, then you definitely would rather trade for Snell right now, obviously. But
I'd rather have both.
Well, sure, if you're the Padres, you get both, but that's kind of reflected in the package that the Rays got for Snell.
Oh, definitely. I think that if you're the Rays, you do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, people get mad about things like that because they are selling out their fans or whatever.
Well, they're not though. They've had what in the last 12 years? They've had three below 500 teams. I mean, they're in sort of the pessimistic way of saying it is they're always in a half rebuild state, but they're always in a contending state.
They're in a perpetual reload state. That's what it is.
They're,
you guys remember? You remember Evan Longoria? You remember David Price?
Chris Archer.
Remember Chris Archer? Yeah, I was getting to that. Thanks, Pete. Yeah. You remember the greatest trade of all time?
Do you remember Delman Young?
Young. Yeah, right.
Or Alex Cobb?
Yeah, remember Alex Cobb?
I mean, they
remember Matt Boer?
Oh, jeez. Barely. They know how to play it, and I know that, and rightfully pisses a lot of people off, because realistically the game should be about holding on to your guys and then running the count with them and everything, but you cannot argue with the results. You just can't.
I mean, if you take as if setting aside the, you know, rightness or wrongness of operating under imagined or real financial strain constraints that an organization like the Rays presumably does, or at least will claim to. This is the utmost peak of how to run that kind of organization. If those assuming those constraints and not, you know, critiquing the concept of the constraints themselves, obviously.
Okay, okay, you can play devil's advocate for the Rays. What's the Cubs' excuse?
Yeah, no, I mean, the
Cubs don't really have one.
Right, the Cubs, no. and I'm not going to defend the Cubs.
Yeah. No, Cubs, I will momentarily defend their recently departed GM. There was some really hot takery that he was somehow a failure because, you know, this massive dynasty that was promised to them never really materialized. But I mean, you go back over their time, he built a really good team, but they were only the best team in baseball one of those years, and that year they won the World Series. And happened to snap an over century long drought at the time. They should be building statues to this guy.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, they brought him in specifically to do that because he did that somewhere else and then he delivered on that promise. You know, it's not like that or anything.
Of course not. But I
think financial aside, I think even if you don't consider the financial, if it was literally just, hey, you've got this great pitcher, we've got four good prospects, two of them are pretty damn high floor, high ceiling types, I think you take it anyway.
For the Rays perspective, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, that's a really, really, really good package they got. Even setting aside, you know, I mean, the financial. Yeah, absolutely. That was
a
really good trade.
You can't predict the future. It could all just fall flat on its face. Snell could go to the Padres and win them five World Series, and all these prospects could flame out.
But he won't go seven innings. Sorry.
He won't because he never does.
He never does. Yeah, that's the thing about Snell. It's like
he never ever does.
He never does.
He is like,
now you
Johan
can say
Santana.
Maybe the Padres will let him, and we'll see what happens. But you know, maybe there's a reason he didn't before.
The Cubs trade is, I mean, I can't defend that. That is so nakedly a salary dump.
It's an anti-cash grab.
Yeah, well, it is kind of a cash grab. It's just grabbing the cash and shoving it in their pocket.
Or into surrounding real estate.
Into Tom Ricketts' pockets.
It's the Mookie Betts trade of 2020.
Yeah, it's the closest we're going to get this year, I think. Mm.
Well, and I really, really, really hope that it puts them where it put the Red Sox.
Well, I mean, Darvish is not Mookie Betts either.
Like, no. Like Mookie Darvish, Betts is... But... Mookie Betts is probably second or third best player in baseball. I mean, that was an abomination of a trade. And also the Cubs got more for Darvish, weirdly enough, than the Red Sox got for probably the single most marketable person in baseball in the past 20 years.
Tatis?
Trout?
Right here, right now, I would say Betts.
I mean, out of the three, Betts. Yeah, yeah, no question. Out of the three. Just...
Marketability, I'm talking about. Not best player, but marketability.
Oh, no, marketability, though. I mean, marketability. Betts is awesome. Mookie's awesome.
Well, sure, but so is Tatis. Think about the fact that, you know, I mean, the two best teams in baseball are now in one division.
Oh, don't overlook the folksy charm of a Michael Trout.
I mean,
the Rockies and
the best player
still,
no doubt, but... I mean,
the Rockies and Diamondbacks should just punt this season, right?
Well, that was what I saw a meme today with the Dodgers and the Padres beating the crap out of like the logos for the Giants and the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and it's like, stop! Can't you see they're already dead?
Just real quick on the topic of the Padres, I heard that they're. You might know more than I. After all this, even though their farm system came out relatively intact, even with after these trades.
I mean, their farm system was
They got a lot.
They're so loaded. I mean, that's the fun thing about the Padres.
I was gonna say, I wonder, after all this, like, I'm definitely keeping way more of an eye on the Padres this year. They're going to be a fun team.
I already liked the Padres last year, except for their stupid pitcher that they traded for.
Who we don't have to watch this year.
Yeah, exactly. But, y'all, you look at the talent they have now, and you look at the fact that they didn't clean out the cabinet to get that. They've still got a couple of their best prospects in their minors.
We haven't even talked about they also just signed the best KBO player to come
this
year, too.
Which I'm excited. Yeah, they're definitely my...
They don't even have a position for it, because they said, we're still going to play Jake Cronenworth at second base, and they got Machado and Tatis, so they just signed Ha-Sung Kim, and they don't even have a place to play.
I mean, if you can do it, I guess.
Well, I think that brings us to what we should probably be talking about with Jorge Polanco.
Oh, You're like, do we have a place to play Jorge Polanco?
Maybe make it so that he doesn't necessarily have one place to play. How do you, now everyone's talking about that. Do you guys think that'll actually work?
What, the super utility Jorge
Polanco? It's a fantastic idea in theory. How do you think he'll do it?
Well, you can really only be super utility if you can also play the corner outfield, right? And I don't know if you can. I mean, you're not Marwin Gonzalez unless you can lump around in right field and say you're an outfielder.
We got Astudillo for that. He ain't going anywhere.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, Luis Arraez played left field a little bit his first year.
I forgot about that.
Sort of.
Why?
Because they ran out of players for a while.
It wasn't even a COVID year.
It was when Rosario pulled his hammy and somebody else was hurt. Well, Buxton was hurt at the time too. So I think Jay Cave was playing center and Rosario pulled his hammy. So they put Arraez in left.
Yeah. So Polanco as a second baseman, shortstop, third baseman, yay or nay?
Well, what else are you doing to make that the case?
So, you know, the big talk is signing a shortstop, displacing him.
Or trading for a shortstop.
One way or the other.
There is a team out there that has a pretty good shortstop that they are probably going to trade.
that is true.
I mean, would you rather have traded for Yu Darvish's contract, or would you rather trade for soon to be free agent Francisco Lindor?
Lindor all day, every day, obviously. If Lindor was on the Twins, that would be amazing. I don't think that'll happen.
I would bet
$100 against that happening.
I don't see any way Cleveland would actually.
I'd only get like 102 back, but
I think they would. I think Chris Antonetti would demand Falvey give him Royce and Kirilloff and Johan Duran and Jordan Milosevic.
I think all that plus filming degrading acts on YouTube and. I don't think it would ever happen.
Okay, now I actually have the solution here for shortstop. What we're going to do now that we have Hansel Robles, we're going to trade for Didi Gregorius.
Let's sign him.
Then we'll have Hansel and Gregorius.
I like it.
You got it.
I like Didi Gregs. Who doesn't like Didi Gregs?
Mm-hmm. He's one of those notorious Twins killers, just like 80-year-old Edwin Encarnacion.
He didn't kill us so bad this year.
No, he did not. Neither did Didi, because we didn't play him this year.
No, we didn't get the chance to.
Shame.
But yeah, I mean, signing Didi actually wouldn't be the best idea.
If we do, then I'm making Hansel and Gregorius t-shirts.
I'm a big proponent of the idea.
I would buy one.
Marcus Semien.
I would love Marcus Semien for a ton of reasons, not the least of which is him playing in Alexandria at one point. So that is fun. But yeah, Marcus Semien would probably be my top pick, but Didi would probably be my number two pick. Living in the real world where we don't trade for people who we can't trade for.
Like Francisco Lindor.
Yes.
What about Simmons?
I like Simmons. I remember he got hurt pretty bad in 2019. Did he come back in 2020 at all?
He did play in 2020. I don't think he was. He didn't. No, he played. He played in 2020. I don't think his performance was up to his previous level in the field, which is the important part with Simmons. But again, 2020 stats, so I don't know.
Right. I mean, you can't. But the thing with him is that injury he suffered against the Twins, actually, it was not a good one from what I remember.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I would put him at a pretty distant third.
Okay.
I love the idea of the first half of 2019 Andrelton Simmons.
5 years ago, Andrelton Simmons.
Even like 3 years ago, because he was hit. He had finally started to hit the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had the idea of him like hitting 300 with like 15 home runs and playing some of that shortstop since Ozzie Smith.
The new Ozzie Smith.
Yeah. I mean, if Ozzie Smith could hit 300 with 15 home runs in this day and age, that would be pretty useful.
Ozzie Smith probably could hit 15 home runs in this day and age.
That is true. But yeah, I would go definitely Semien first, Gregorius second. You got to be able to get one of those guys.
You would think. I mean, if that's the direction they want to go, you would think they could, yeah. It's hard to imagine not being able to.
Whether or not they'll trust, because the thing about it is you can't just have Polanco as a second baseman shortstop. You has to play third base and quite a bit of it.
Right, because
so can he make that
load management is going to be
huge.
I really want to say the words load management on this podcast a lot because it's an NBA concept that now is going to move into baseball, and I think it's hilarious. But yeah, Josh Donaldson load management is going to be extremely important.
It's going to be critical. They're going to need to spell him probably once every five games
at least.
So with that, or probably a lot more DH. So in that case, do you see a spot for Cruz coming back?
Oh, totally. They need Cruz.
You can still load manage Cruz too. That's the thing. Like
you can do both. I think that without bringing back Cruz, our outfield is pretty much set. They're going to roll with obviously Buxton, Kepler, and
Jake Cave.
Cave and some combination of the two, I guess, guys. Now that Rooker is dead.
Rooker's dead.
Yeah.
He died. He
exploded last season.
Well, his arm like, did.
He was exploded. Taken by the castle.
Yep.
Freaking Zach Plesac threw a ball in his forearm. Is that what you're talking about?
That might be exactly what I'm talking about.
It was an arrow to the knee, actually.
I used to be an adventurer like you.
Zach Plesac and his Rona bro.
But you're pretty obviously going to be rolling with some combination of Kirilloff and Larnach. Either or, both, who knows?
Well, I doubt they're going to start with Larnach right away. I think Kirilloff has first dibs on the shot at it.
Yeah, that being said, you're definitely seeing that. But, I mean, I don't think they are going to want to roll both Larnach and Kirilloff at the same time, and that's what they're going to be if they don't bring Cruz back.
Right.
Rooker
playing DH a lot, yeah.
I don't think they're going to want to trust two of their nine positions for sure to rookies.
Yeah.
And not just rookies, but really, really, really untested rookies.
Right.
So I think you have to bring Cruz back. He's the only real true blue DH that there is.
Well, you have to do something. I mean, it might not be Cruz. Like some people throw the name Kyle Schwarber out there.
Yeah, I was about to say Schwarber.
No.
My point is there are other things you could do, but it wouldn't be just signing Nelson Cruz to be your DH. You would be signing
needle movers though.
Signing extra corner DH types.
No, if you're gonna bother with Schwarber, you may as well just roll with Larnach and Kirilloff.
I mean, if you're gonna bother with Schwarber, you might as well just sign Jackie Bradley Jr. to play next
honestly,
to Buxton Kepler.
I would way rather them sign Jackie Bradley Jr. and I don't know, move Kepler to left. I don't know.
I actually think that would be awesome if they would.
I think that would be amazing. I would way rather them do that than Schwarber. Schwarber is a total non-issue. I don't know why you'd do that. I have no idea why you'd sign Kyle Schwarber. And of course now they'll do it, and then he'll hit 300, have an OPS above 1,000, and everybody will
have to talk about how excited we are for the Kyle Schwarber era.
Remember that one time where he didn't play all season and then he came back for the World Series? Kyle Schwarber's magic.
The next breakout Cub star, Kyle Schwarber.
That sounds more like a Yankee timeline if he went to them instead of the Twins.
Yeah.
You imagine Schwarber in a Yankee uniform?
I kind of can. That's what scares me.
I absolutely could see him.
Yeah,
in a Yankee uniform.
They already have Judge and Stanton. What do they need Schwarber for?
Well, I mean, Judge and Stanton, they've got Hicks. Hicks like left us, roided up, filled out that uniform noise, and like turned into this like actual player, as opposed to the guy who struck out against Verlander five times in his debut, or four, or whatever he did.
I mean, don't you think you would strike out five times against Verlander in your debut?
I'm not a baseball player.
I would just be called out because I would refuse to go to the plate.
Yeah, I don't think I having seen some of those catcher's eye views of pitches coming in, I don't think so.
So back to the question at hand, Polanco, super utility, yay or nay?
I am skeptical of his ability to play third base.
Play third base, yeah. Well, I mean, we're skeptical. We've been skeptical of his ability to play shortstop for years.
Can barely make the throw at shortstop.
Yeah. Well, maybe you think Arise could play third base and Polanco could play second?
That's within the realm of possibility. I think he could do it.
Especially
he'd play short, but you could move Polanco.
No, well, I mean, what you'd have to, what you'd be doing in those situations is, I mean, I think is you'd be, You play Polanco at short when Semien's not playing. Semien or whoever is not playing. Play Arraez at second base most of the time, except when Donaldson's not playing. And then play Arraez at third base and Polanco at second.
Right. I actually like that idea way more than I like the idea of Polanco at third. I
think if those guys are able to, I mean, if those guys can buy into roles like that, I mean, I know sometimes it's tough to
right.
Like, well, you're playing second every day game. Except the days we have you play third.
This is all video game management. I mean, it's
like
tossing Barry Bonds at first for a game here and
there. Again, not everyone is Marwin Gonzalez, where you can just throw him out at every position and he'll flop around in the right field like a fish and say he's a right fielder.
Truly abysmal right fielder.
We only have a couple minutes here.
He was a truly abysmal player last year. Anyway,
he had a rough year.
So we just got a couple minutes before we got to take a break. Real quick, are there any Twins free agents that you want to re-sign besides Cruz?
I mean, I'd bring back...
It really depends on whether they're going to go to displace Polanco with a shortstop. Because if they don't, then I think you bring back Adrianza.
I'd definitely bring back... I mean, because I don't think it'll cost much. I'd definitely bring back Adrianza.
Right.
I wouldn't mind bringing back the Yankee Clipper or Tyler Clippert for another year.
Love the idea of bringing back Clippert. Yep.
Or somebody. I mean, they're going to, I still, even with, if we're going to get to the Hansel Robles talk, but I think they still want to add another couple bullpen pieces, whether it's Clippert or something.
I think bringing back Clippert would be a good idea. In general, yeah. I think it'd be a good idea. I'd still love to see him bring back Odorizzi, though. That's probably not going to happen.
It's not.
Yeah, the market's probably going to be too big for him, I think. Yeah. All right. With that, we will take a quick break. We are brought to you today by our sponsor, Mark's Towing. Be back with you shortly. And welcome back. Sorry it took so long. As mentioned, our sponsor is Mark's Towing. I'm going to hit you with a surprise topic real quick. Trevor May. Now, obviously, I don't think any of us would have minded if he came back, but at that price?
There was zero chance of it happening.
Two years? I'm saying, would you? 2 years, would 15 I? Million. 2 years, 15 million for Trevor
May. I mean, it's not my money.
Would you want the Twins to do it is what I'm saying.
I mean, sure, but were they going to do it? No. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, in the opposite of a vacuum, I like the guy a lot. I think
I love Trevor May.
He's like literally one of my favorite baseball players of the last 10 years, easily. And he just happens to be a really good pitcher who is going to be very well loved in his new area. So yeah, I'd toss some money at him. Dollar amounts don't really mean a whole lot to me. Again, not really my money. And it's not like this is a video game where they're going to be coming down to like the $2,000 of cap space left or anything. I mean, they've got their cap, but is throwing $7 million at May going to make it so they can't do anything? I mean, no.
Would you rather have May or Cruz?
May or Cruz?
Yeah.
I still don't feel that it has to be an either or. I know.
I mean, I agree.
Hypothetically, I would rather have Cruz. I would rather have both, but I would also rather wait to see how kind of some of the – they're going to make at least one bigger move than either of those two, really, in some way, I feel like. So I'm interested what that move is, and that will retroactively kind of tell me how I feel about them not picking up the tab for me.
Here's a question I have for you. What is, since this current, I mean, this is going to go into my bigger point, but since this current regime took over, what is the biggest bullpen free agent signing they made outlay-wise? See if you remember this.
Yeah, me.
Wow, I'm not.
I'm pretty sure it was Addison Reed.
Yeah, you're right.
Him, yeah.
And since then, have they done anything of that size in the bullpen signing-wise? They haven't.
I mean, in complete fairness. Well, yeah, but they've got the slider whisperer.
Well, and this is my point, is that, you know, would I want Trevor May to still be on the Twins? Absolutely. Has this front office shown, and And I don't mean, and I, there's kind of an undercurrent when I talk about the Twins and the way they operate, which is that I don't want to come off as a defender of Ben, or a, what they call on the old tweeter machine, the Polad pocket protectors. But I prefer to be realistic about understanding the way these guys operate and what they're, how they're going to do things. And the reality they're not going to sign up. They're not going to give Trevor May $15 million over 2 years when another club is going to do that. They're just not.
A, the whole Polad pocket protectors thing hasn't really been a realistic, it's been a dead horse trope for like the last, basically since the younger son took over for Polad.
I was gonna say, yeah, weren't like the Twins recently lauded for like their arbitration approach? Even the agents were like, it was actually, that was really smooth. The agents were
like, this worked really well. I mean, I actually am pretty sure Matt Wisler and his agent really appreciated getting non-tendered.
You know? Oh, yeah. They get a chance to cash in on him having a sub-1 ERA.
Right. Which they did. He signed a good year with the Giants.
I mean, good for him. 2 years ago, if you would have walked up to him and said that he was going to sign that deal with the Giants, you'd have absolutely thought you had lost your mind. I would have thought you had lost your mind. But that's the slider whisperer for you. Wes Johnson is going to
use that one.
I got to use that one. Wes Johnson is going to revitalize some people's careers. I think he's going to revitalize Hansel's career.
Hansel Robles.
Yeah.
Our Trevor May replacement.
And, you know,
is he more of a Romo replacement?
Well, as far as the type of, I mean, it depends on if you mean like what of kind pitcher, of pitcher, yeah, is he, or which arbitrary inning do we have to pitch him in?
Gotcha.
You
know?
I mean,
if you're going to talk about he has to be the eighth inning guy.
I think he'll start the year as a kind of mid leverage guy. I'm just still thinking that they'll probably find someone a little higher leverage, but
maybe
again, they're not going to dump. Like you said, that was the second thing I was coming back to is you're absolutely right. They're not going to dump $7 million on a reliever, any reliever, closer, nothing. When Rodgers comes to the end of his time here, he'll go out and he'll sign a nice size contract elsewhere.
Well, hopefully, because
that will absolutely happen.
He'll have bounced back from 2020, and he'll be wiping guys out with his slider.
I don't even think he'll need to bounce very far back. All of his peripherals were there. It's just that 2020 was such a weird year.
Yeah, I agree. but my point about Robles is he's obviously very different type of pitcher from Romo. He's a lot closer to what Trevor May is. He's a velocity guy. His primary non-fastball pitch is his changeup, actually. I think he increased his slider usage between 2019 and 2020, whatever that means. So maybe we can expect that to
spike back up.
He's something there that he can get more out of, you know. But the other thing about it, when you look at his numbers from 19 to 20, is his fastball velo did drop a couple of ticks. So hopefully we get, and again, I don't think he's alone. I think that happened to a number of guys in 2020 across the league.
I think we had kind of touched on this earlier, but what we really found out in 2020 is that spring training is boring as hell, but really, really important.
That
whole big, long, the whole pageantry and process of it is really important because, I mean, you had people losing velocity. You had people snapping their elbow ligaments like they were made of silly string.
Straining the shoulders.
All kinds of stuff. I think a lot of people are going to bounce back quite heavily this year when you have something resembling a normal season. I don't think we're going to, the way they're talking, it doesn't quite sound like it's going to be a normal season, but it'll be at least something resembling it, and it'll have the something closer to the regular preseason, I think, which I think bodes well for people like Robles, who didn't have very good ramp up to 2020.
Right.
I think it'll be smart of a lot of teams to, not pay too much attention to it, the season, that is.
That season, honestly, I think will look more and more like an exhibition season as time goes on. I mean, which is kind of unfair to the Dodgers because they were clearly the best team in 162 games. They had the most depth, and they probably would have won the World Series anyway. But yeah, they're going to be looked at as having won something even a little sillier than 1981.
I still fall on the side that it's a valid championship, no matter what.
Oh, it's absolutely valid.
It was only rendered invalid when Justin Turner ran out.
Right. That's when it was immediately canceled. It was valid for a few brief shining moments and then immediately canceled. Yes, that's a fair distinction.
How about any other Hansel Robles thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, I mean, I do have about 2 hours worth of notes here, but
all right. Well, lay it on us.
Bring it.
I was going to say, just for the sake of our audience, we can move on.
All right. Fair enough.
Real quick, before we go looking at other parts of the league, are there any free agents out there that you would like the Twins to sign? Obviously, many, but a few off the top
of them. Yes. All the free agents.
All the free agents. All your free agents belong to us.
Well, you know, we talked about shortstops a little bit already. I do really like Marcus Semien, and I think he would look great in a Twins uniform. I also, this isn't a free agent, but there's been a lot of scuttlebutt recently that the Pirates are still open for business, and that means pitchers like Joe Musgrove probably could be moving out of the Steel City pretty soon. I would love for the Twins to get in on a guy like Musgrove instead of having been in the, not getting in on the Snell Darvish action, and probably also not getting in on the Reds pitcher fire sale that seems to be happening. I mean, God, is anyone in the NL Central going to be good next year? But putting that aside, yeah, the
Cardinals will always be gamers. But
yeah, the Cardinals are going to win that division by default. Jeez, because they're just like, we're the smartest fans in baseball. But I doubt that the Twins are. I mean, I would like Sonny Gray too, but I doubt the Twins are going to trade for him or Luis Castillo. But if Joe Musgrove is available, I'd be pretty interested to see the Twins go after him in a trade. As far as free agent pitchers, though, I mean, I'd bring back Odorizzi before anybody else who's a free agent, honestly. The cost will probably be bigger than some guys, so cost value.
I pulled up the list, and yeah, I think Odorizzi is about the only one that I'd really even think about, truthfully.
Brad Hand?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he has to go with a starter, and I don't think they're going to go with Brad Hand. If they weren't willing to claim him on waivers, I don't think they're really that interested.
What do you think Brad Hand could get for a contract? I mean, he's not going to get a Trevor May like
deal. I was going to say, is he going to get Trevor
May money? No, probably not. Which, I don't know.
He does throw a slider.
He does. And he'd really slot in nice there in the high leverage stuff.
Yeah, well, two left-handed high leverage pitchers, wow.
That is a problem. I mean, it is and it isn't, because, I mean, the problem that we had last year was that we had two lefties in the bullpen total.
Is that the problem we had last year?
That is one of the problems we had last year.
I actually don't think that was the problem at all.
Well, I mean,
I think most of the right-handed pitchers were pretty good at getting lefties out.
In the bullpen, it would be nice to have one more lefty.
I guess.
It'd be nice to have three lefties.
I mean, if you're going to get another lefty, I want one who can get right-handers out. And Brad Hand, honestly, is as good at that as anybody else, probably.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you're going after Brad Hand. You're not really looking at what Hand he throws.
Nice.
The fact that he's lefty is just kind of, Hey. See what I accidentally did there?
Any other free agents you want, Pete? You want some of that JT Realmuto action? George Springer? You want some George Springer?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, yeah, but no.
How about future twin Josh Reddick? I almost said JJ Reddick, and that's a different sport.
Almost as likely, though.
Future Timberwolf in about 8 years, JJ Redick.
If Terry Ryan were still in charge of the Twins, you can almost be assured that they would already have JJ Redick. They would already have Josh Redick. I don't think they'll get Josh Redick. 10 years ago, they would have absolutely gone after Josh Redick.
What, you interested in the Kike Hernandez situation?
Again, it really depends on whether they're going to go after a
starting shortstop.
If they're going to go after a starting shortstop, or if this crazy talk about them like going after like a Javi Baez or something is true. I don't think that a second baseman really addressed the problem that is in the lineup right now, though. So
what's the problem that's in the lineup? Miguel Sano.
Jorge Polanco needs, you know, we're not expecting him to be an all-star again, but that last year was pretty brutal.
Yeah. So Jorge Polanco is a problem in the lineup?
Potentially.
Yeah. Well, that's why you signed Marcus Semien.
Well, and that's what I mean. But everyone, you know, Twitter gets all crazy and they're talking about Javi Baez and it's like that.
Hubs are open for business.
Well, that's fantastic. It doesn't solve any of our problems.
I'm not that big on Javi Baez, to be honest.
Well, I think it was Nick Nelson was like, yeah, people would forget all about Eddie Rosario pretty quick if Javi Baez is on the team. Yeah, because they're practically the same player. Because
they're both extremely aggravating and intermittently awesome in equal
they're
measure.
Intermittently
yeah.
amazing. They are highlight yeah. reels and blooper reels in like human form. And I loved Eddie. But again, Javi Baez does not solve any of our problems. We don't need, I mean, we've got Arraez there. Not that Arraez is a great second baseman, not saying that he's the future or anything, though I would definitely not be upset if he was. I think that you can't have two fielders up the middle as Polanco and Arraez long term.
Right. Yeah, I think there probably is going to need to be some improvement in one of those spots sooner than later.
And I think if you're going to improve one of those spots and force them, I think you'd go what you were talking about earlier, move Polanco to second, maybe have Arraez do, again, subject to what they're willing to deal with. But I think you go after a shortstop. I think you go after a premier shortstop. If they're going to spend money this season, I'd like them to spend it on a shortstop.
And Nelson Cruz.
And Odorizzi.
Yeah, why not? And look at Odorizzi and
Joe Musgrove. You don't spend that much money on Joe Musgrove. What about speaking of Twitter takery, that I feel like there's been an undercurrent of Twitter reply guys who are confused about the idea that a shortstop might get signed because they think Royce Lewis is going to be here on day one of 2021 playing shortstop. What's your response to that, Mr. Nibish?
If you please.
Yeah, that is a good question because, I mean, he's going to be here at some point, but I don't know, a lot can happen. And there's 0% chance Royce Lewis is playing more than 70 games in 2021. Unless something catastrophic has happened.
At all or for the Major League Baseball Club?
In the Major Leagues, God. There's 0% chance unless something catastrophic happens. Like, everyone else has shredded their Achilles and, oh, I guess it's Roy season now. That would be very, very bad.
Well,
and they're going to go through, like, three or four guys before they get to him.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't go through three or four guys before.
I mean, you would
before Royce's handed the keys to shortstop.
Before Royce's handed the keys to shortstop, you would probably see them. I don't know, sign a guy off, sign a one of the remaining free agents on the market. You'd see them try to trade. You'd see them, I don't know, pull up freaking Nick Gordon. I don't know. They'd do a lot of things before they try to go after Royce Lewis there. He's not a 2021 solution in any way, I don't think. He'll play probably for the team before the year is over, but I really, really don't think that he'll be doing any heavy lifting this season.
Get your St. Paul Saints tickets if you want to see Royce Lewis in 2021.
You probably should anyway. I hear they're fun.
Well, if anyone's allowed to get tickets.
That is another matter entirely.
Well, let's hit on, unless you, Mr. Joe, if you have any free agent thoughts you'd like to contribute.
Oh, I absolutely do not, really. Between, who do you see being more realistic? Well, obviously, Didi would be more realistic than Semien, but.
Probably.
Yeah.
For the same reasons that I would rather have Semien than Didi.
Yeah.
Right. I would be happy with either of them.
Yeah, I think
I'd be
either
plenty happy would be. With. I'd be plenty happy with Didi. That would be a great pick.
Yeah.
And even injury concerns aside, Andrelton Simmons would be a very good pick as well.
What about Colton Wong at second base?
I don't know I don't know if signing a free agent second baseman solves the issue that we're trying to solve.
Right.
Now, the up the middle infield defense is at best average.
And that's a pretty,
and that'd be really generous.
That's being really generous, yeah. Yes.
You've got Polanco, who is who has always been a slightly negative shortstop, and you've got Arias, who is the highest he's ever getting grades average. And
it'll be a fun average, though.
Oh, it'll be a great average.
I mean, we're talking strictly defensive.
I mean,
he's a fun hitter.
Strictly
he's
defensive. A fun hitter. I want them to get his bat in there as often as possible because, again, he could. I was talking about this with DK the other day, but I mean, like, literally after the first 12 games or so, I mean, he batted like over 400 with his characteristic patience and started to show us a little bit of gap power towards the end of the season. I mean, he has the potential to be like a really, really good, almost like late 80s style hitter where he hits like for three, like a Wade Boggs type where he hits for like 300 and walks a lot and hits like doubles everywhere. And I'm saying that Arise is going to be a Hall of Famer is all I'm saying.
You're saying that the Twins have the next Wade Boggs. We got Tony Gwynn right in our lineup.
I'm going to say that Wade Boggs will eventually be honored to be mentioned in the same sentence.
He will be called the poor man's Luis Arise.
The practically broke man's Luis Arise.
The homeless man's Luis Arise.
Here's one more just weird name for fun. We're probably going to need a fifth starter. I would love to get Kenta a countryman. What about Tanaka?
I mean, I would say yes. I would also say, again, that's probably a higher pay level than they're looking for their fifth starter. But
do you think he's going to get that much? Do you think he's going to get that much? If you can pick him up as a starter, not as a fifth starter, just as a starter.
Well, I mean, in fifth starter and everything kind of gets a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that like the numbering starters is meaningless. But I'm just saying like right. when they fill out their rotation, the fifth guy that they get is probably not going to. I mean, it's not the fifth starter, but the guy that they get
as a fifth starting pitcher. Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. Like when they pick up another guy, like they'll pick up a fourth guy because they got three right now. They'll pick up a fourth guy. Maybe it's Joe Musgrove. Maybe it's Puerto Rizzi. Maybe it's trading for somebody else. Mm-hmm. They'll pick up a fourth guy almost certainly. They'll also pick up a fifth guy, and I'm guessing he won't cost as much as Tanaka would cost.
The fifth guy is going to piss Twins Twitter off.
Yes.
100% guaranteed. The fifth guy is going to make people lose their minds over how little they're the perennially awful. I mean, they're going to absolutely hate whoever they get as the fifth starter. I think we've touched on this at other times. Fifth starters don't even pitch in the playoffs. You have a bullpen day built in the World Series. Everybody does it now. I mean, no one is tossing their fifth starter out there, whoever that is. So, I mean, I'm not really that concerned about it, but they do need to get at least one Odorizzi-esque, so why not just get Odorizzi starter?
Yeah, I mean, someone who can you can hopefully project to be about as good as Odorizzi.
You need to get one more like that.
Yeah.
And the problem is this year they're really low on those type of starters.
Right. Like Odorizzi is the best year of those type of starters.
Well, I would have loved for them to like look at a Stroman or something, but A, probably a little out of the range, and B, he saw what the market was gonna be like this year.
The qualifying offer.
Yeah, yep. He accepted.
But sure, but back to Tanaka, I would say, I mean, and maybe Tanaka is that guy that you pick up for that, the fourth guy. And if that's the case, I mean, he probably will cost less than Odorizzi will.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think overall,
yeah, he might
get a lower contract than Odorizzi.
I'm not super encouraged by how he looked during the season either, but he still might have something left in the tank, so it might be worth a shot. I would say if they do get somebody else younger, like Joe Musgrove, you know, just I know I keep throwing that name out there, but I mean anybody of that type who they trade for and has probably some control left, either through arbitration or a contract, I would bet they will probably, like Nibish said, they will probably be playing on a lower scale for the next guy that they get after that, it'll probably be Homer Bailey-esque or someone in that on that level.
Homer Bailey is also still on the market, just in case.
Yeah, probably won't be Homer Bailey himself.
It will not be Homer Bailey.
Rich Hill.
If you can even get a half a season to start side of him, but he's still good when you can pitch him.
Oh, it was fun. That was a lot of fun watching that. But yeah, I don't think you can, like, Rich Hill himself might be a little bit of a stretch.
But a Rich Hill type.
Yes.
If anyone else out there has a curveball like that, which they don't, because the Rich Hill curveball is one of a kind of beauty.
It is magical.
John Lester's on the market. John Lester, could grab him.
I mean, isn't he going back to the Cubs now that they cleared out a rotation spot? Isn't.
Oh,
he's not?
No, he bought everyone beer, remember?
I thought, but they just cleared that spot out for him by getting rid of Darvish.
He bought everyone beer.
Right.
It's over.
I saw somebody say, can you imagine a rotation with both Kyle Hendricks and Zach Davies in it?
That's a sacred ceremony.
You don't have to imagine it now. Who's the guy who threw the no-hitter against the Brewers, too? Aren't those guys like all the same guy? Hendricks and Davies and that other guy? I forgot his name. He's so unremarkable.
He is very unremarkable. I remember who you're talking about, but I don't remember who it is.
I'm sorry, other Cubs pitcher who actually threw a no-hitter this year, which is still pretty impressive.
If you say so.
We only have a few minutes, so we'll take a few lightning round here. Badu claimed, surprisingly, maybe. Well, not surprisingly, claimed by the Tigers, but...
If there's one team who's gonna take a guy in the Rule 5 draft and just say, hey, let's see what you got, it's the Tigers.
I'll be honest, why not?
I think we're getting him back.
We're probably gonna get him back. I mean, we are also the guys who said he's definitely not gonna get picked, so...
Well, I mean, there was... Unless he is just so freakishly talented that he can make it happen, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
I would say the odds tip that way. Also, one more quick look around the division. We didn't get to this in the Major League news before, but the White Sox are doing things.
They did make some moves a few weeks ago. They traded for old friend Lance Lynn.
I don't know. I still can't shake the idea that Lance Lynn is maybe a little overrated.
He's a very, very unanalytic friendly pitcher, except when you really dig into what his pitches do on the Statcast level.
And part of that is probably just the fact that he really was extremely unremarkable for the Twins, and I'm letting that paint my memory of and my perception of him. But I don't know. I don't see him as one of the five best starters in the American League. Fangraphs thinks he should be the perennial Cy Young. So
there's major shade thrown on Lance Lynn.
I don't know.
Well, two of the best starters in the American League are also on his team, aren't they? That's what our White Sox friends would say.
Yeah,
we already got Giolito and Keuchel, so they already got the best.
I think he's better than both of those.
They also brought back their old friend Adam Eaton.
Adam Eaton, man, is there a move out there that moves the needle less? I mean, why even bother?
I mean, well, they couldn't get anything out of Nomar Mazara.
You're putting together an amazing, like, great team. So you go out and get the guy in his mid-30s who just OPS under 700 and played crappy right field. Great, great pickup.
He learned so many leadership skills from Adam LaRoche's kid or whatever. So, you know,
Drake LaRoche. Yeah.
he's useful in the clubhouse. All right. I think with that, we're going to have to wrap this one up. We didn't get to any music picks this time, but hopefully we'll be back with a quick overview of some of the best of 2020 picks, ours and others. Also, quick shout outs to the Final Fantasy winners in the main league. Elgonad won his the league. And in the B League, it was the German. So, yeah, congratulations to you guys. And screw the people who beat me in the playoffs. Screw that one guy who got like 50 points last week, too. So I got fourth place in that league. Yeah, good times. Congratulations to the winners. No sour grapes whatsoever. We will see you next time. Best wishes for the new year. Hopefully it can't be any worse than the old year, he said, looking to have everything blow up in his face. With that, we're going to get out of here quick before we make any other stupid predictions. Have a good time. Stay safe.
Cha-ching!